this is the last video I'm going to do on atheism, probably for a little while, as I find atheists to be, at least the ones that troll around on the internet, to be among the most unpleasant people I think I've ever interacted with. And they all have a big problem with hell. And I've had some, if you even want to call it dialogue, I'm not sure I would even elevate it as far as his participation with Peter Thurston of Essence of Thought or Emergence of whatever it is, his channel. Just took the time a couple days ago to scroll, just kind of like, you know what? I wonder how many videos he's got out there. Because I've never taken the time to look, and it's just, I mean, it's video after video after video after video of him just, he's got pictures of people's faces, including me, and goofy-looking expressions with his clickbaiting little titles. It's just, you know, pastor gets angry and changes argument midstream, and, you know, just, I'm like, the abused has become the abuser. That's very common. A lot of times people who were abused become abusive. It's kind of like, you know, they were degraded and humiliated as children, and now they, with brave boldness, degrade and humiliate all their opposition now. It's just pathetic. It's absolutely juvenile to see what Peter Thurston has out there. Just unbelievably childish. And I just, wow. There you go. There's the end result of an atheistic worldview that has just poisoned a young man's mind who's got some very serious issues that he needs to deal with. But he's got a problem with hell. He doesn't like the idea of hell. It's abusive to teach people about hell. It's abusive to teach children the doctrine of hell and to use violence as a threat. It's abusive to do that. When Greg Bahnsen debated Eddie Tabash, who was at the time was an ACLU attorney, you know, who argued in favor of abortion rights and everything else, even though Tabash himself had relatives that were gassed at Auschwitz, he argues for the very mentality that allowed for the extermination of his relatives. Just incredible. But one of Eddie's main arguments in the course of the debate, and it just amazed me, he said that the Christian God can't exist because we don't want to worship a God who would send people to the eternal barbecue pit. I mean, over and over again, just mockery. Absolutely despises the idea of hell. Dan Barker's another one. He hates the idea of hell. You know, violence. God uses violence against people. Gordon Stein, another one, when Greg Bahnsen debated him, he doesn't like the doctrine of hell. Atheists that I've interacted with that have been emailing me, at least the ones that can actually talk without using profanity constantly, and Peter Thurston's not one of them, don't like hell. They really have a problem with hell. I'd like to address why atheists have such a difficult time contemplating the biblical truth that there is such a thing as justice. This is what they don't understand. Because, you see, criminals always think that they're being mistreated. They always think it's unjust. It has never occurred to Peter Thurston, to Eddie Tabash, to Gordon Stein, to Dan Barker, to any of them. It's never occurred to them that hell is just. You know, we have police that drive around and walk around holding guns and nightsticks and tasers. Oh, well, that's terrible. They're abusing us because they threaten us with violence. You see, in a world full of sinners, you got to have police. And you got to have police that can use deadly force, if need be, to make the unruly and the ungodly, the evil, the erring, and the wicked obey the law so that we don't set the whole world on fire and blow it up. And so it's critical to understand that the issue of violence, the issue of justice, has always involved harm to a person's body. Capital punishment has to happen because that's what justice demands. If you take someone's life unjustly, then you, and it's not in the context of a legal just war or something like that, if you murder someone, then your life is forfeit. There are many other issues for which people's lives would be forfeit as well. Child sexual abuse would be one of them. In a Christian biblical law order, a person who engages in activity like that would be put to death on the basis of two or three witnesses. He would need to have they would need to have a fair trial, and so on and so forth. But why is it that atheists, in particular, and of all the groups I've ever interacted with, they have such a problem with the idea of hell, and there's a reason for that. The reason for that is that they are and do and believe and act exactly the way God says they will in Scripture. That's what's so ironic. Every time I've ever gotten another nasty gram, every time I've ever heard another atheist ranting about how hell is horrible and it's abusive to teach people about things like hell, eternal damnation, where God tortures people for eternity, the reason that they have such a problem with it is they know they're going there. And why do atheists who really don't believe in anything, I just love the soft atheism. What is atheism? We're not denying that God exists. We're just saying we're without theistic beliefs. You know, Gordon Stein did that with Greg Bahnsen many years ago, and I have George Smith's book, Atheism, the Case Against God, and tries to make the case, what's an atheist? An atheist is someone who lacks theistic beliefs. So what's your worldview then? Well, we're humanists. Okay, well, whatever. What is humanism? It's atheistic. So why are you trying to steer away from this? Well, because they don't want to have to defend anything. So they call their position, we're atheists because we lack theistic beliefs, okay? That also means my dog is an atheist, and I always suspected it was. The squirrels that raid my bird feeder, they're atheists too, because they don't have theistic beliefs either. Don't you see how ridiculous that is? There's lots of things that I don't have a belief in. Do I call myself the alpha privative of all those things? Of course not. That's just nonsense. But why do atheists have such a hard time with hell? Well, because they know that they're going there. When I was doing my analysis of the original Greek here of Romans, I've been preaching through the book of Romans for over a year now. We're on Romans 13 now. And when I was in Romans chapter 1, where it speaks about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, it goes through this long sin list. One of the first sins mentioned there is homosexuality. And homosexuality is the ultimate expression of rebellion, not just against God, but against the very created order itself, against the way that the body parts are designed by God to function. And one thing that I've noticed among the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ, whatever, however many, you know, pick your perversion and assign it a letter, whatever, is that they almost seem to not believe that there's even such a thing as sexual perversion. Is there even such a thing? Can we be perverted sexually? I think many of them would say, no, as long as it's consensual. But for some reason, they arbitrarily don't like things like pedophilia and things like that. Although Richard Dawkins says, you know, a little bit of that's no big deal. But what about that? What about, you know, despicable things like child sexual abuse and things like that? Well, there's groups out there that advocate that that's okay. And that there are children that have meaningful, consensual, loving relationships with adults. And I say, no, that's perverted, sick and wrong, and anyone engaged in it, any adults engaged in things like that, should be executed by the state, without a doubt. But what is Romans 1 talking about? That, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, to exchange the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is paraphusin, is the Greek phrase there, paraphusin, against nature. Everyone recognizes that certain things are against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That last verse there, verse 32 of Romans 1, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. What that is saying is that the non-believer knows that what they're doing is going to land them in hell. But they don't like that idea. They don't like that. They're upset about it. But they know it's going to happen. And notice, they not only continue to do it, but they also cheer on and approve others who practice them. And that's why they'll have a YouTube channel with tens of thousands of subscribers who, no matter how goofy, irrational, and foolish anything they say, I mean, these guys could say, atheism is cool, and all of their followers, yeah, you refuted him. Oh, that's awesome. That's wonderful. You know, Richard Dawkins could stand up and say, I think atheism's cool. And they get 15-minute standing ovation. Wasn't that deep? Man, that was profound. Not only do they do what they know makes them worthy of eternal damnation, they not only continue to do it, but they also approve of those who practice them. And yet it just eats at them. It just eats at them. They just can't stand it. They know they're going there, but they don't like the fact that they're going there. And the argument that Eddie Tabash made in the debate with Greg Monson, and I couldn't believe he actually was making this argument. His argument was basically, if I don't like something, it can't exist. If I don't like something, it can't exist. And I just kind of thought, is that really what he's saying? And Monson pointed that out in his closing statement and in his rebuttals. You know, he asked Tabash, would you repeat the rational proof that the doctrine of hell is mistaken? Don't repeat ridiculing it. Repeat the proof. Repeat the proof. And his answer was, my proof is the same as my ridicule. Okay? Well, debate's over then. Because you're not willing to argue against this. Hell is not, well, God's just threatening violence and using violence. Hell is justice. Justice. Man, do people really deserve that? Yes, they do. I do. The only reason I'm not going there is because Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross and bore the wrath against my sins in my place. He did that for me because he loved me and gave himself for me. It took me away from that path of destruction. You see, I was once on that path myself. And God opened my eyes. And you know what he opened my eyes to see? He opened my eyes to see I deserve to go to hell. All of the biblical descriptions of it, all of the biblical descriptions of hell, I'm worthy of that. I am worthy of going there. And that's what I deserve. That's what I should get for my sins. And Jesus described hell in this way. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire which shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, and on and on. Now, that's not saying literally pull your eyes out and you cut your hands and your feet off. What it's saying is we should be willing to be inconvenienced, whatever it takes, to avoid sin in our lives. Now, we're not saved by our works. We're saved by the grace of God through faith alone in Christ alone. And nevertheless, in our pursuit of holiness, we are to fight the good fight. We are to stand our ground and be men. And that's one thing that, you know, the atheist perspective does not promote. It's all about, you know, sin, self-indulgence. There is no justice. There's no accountability. You can do whatever you want in your life. You can do whatever you want. Over against that, we call men to be men, to stand up for what is righteous, to love one woman for life, to be committed to her, to love your children, to work hard at your job, to be a person who always tells the truth, to be a person of integrity, to be a person who stands for the truth of God's word, who stands for the issue of moral absolutes, and so on and so forth. But atheists don't like hell. And why don't they like it? Because the individuals who engage in all those sins listed in Romans 1, 24 through 32, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, they not only do them, they not only continue to do them, but they approve of others who will practice them. You see, sin likes company. Sin likes people to go along. People who are engaged in behavior that they know will damn them forever, they want others to join them so as to assuage their conscience, so as to turn the volume down on their conscience. And yet, their detestation of hell is just always there. It's always going to bother them. And they can shoot their venom at people over the internet all day long. And yet, every night when they lay their head on the pillow, they know it's coming. They know that damnation is coming. And they know that it's just and it's righteous. One of the most moving scenes in all of church history, in all of world history, was when the thief on the cross died next to Jesus. And he confesses that he's a sinner. And Jesus pronounced a word of assurance to that repentant person on the cross. And what's amazing is that in Luke 23:39, it says, then one of the criminals who were hanged there blasphemed Christ, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked the other one that was reviling Jesus, and said, do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And listen to what he says next. He says, and we indeed justly. Here you have a man who is nailed to a cross in agony. And in those last moments of his life, he knows this is just. This is righteous. What's happening to me is what I deserve. See, but the atheist who's committed to it, he's not going to admit that. Apart from the supernatural work of God, he's not going to admit that. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. The heart of God goes out even to the atheist, even to the self-righteous, hypocritical person who thinks they're a Christian and is not. And he pleads with both, with everyone, turn from it. Turn from sin to Christ. Turn from the path that you know you're on. The atheist knows he's going to hell. He is fully aware of the righteous judgment of God, that it is just and righteous. But he doesn't care. He is so in love with sin and so determined to take as many people with him and to get as many people to affirm that you're doing the right thing, you're doing the right thing, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And yet in their hearts they know. They know the righteous judgment of God, that those who do the things that they do are deserving of hellfire. Not only do they continue to do them, but they approve of others who do them too. And so they high-five each other on the internet. They spew their profanity at Christians. They make their little memes of us with goofy facial expressions and misrepresent us and tell all kinds of nasty things about us. And yet, in their hearts, they know where they're going. So that's why atheists have such an aversion to the truth that God is indeed just. It's not, well, it's just a threat of violence, and that's abusive. It's called justice. You kill someone in society, you lose your life. You do crimes in society. You try to hurt someone in public, the police are going to take out a gun and shoot you. Why? Because that's what justice demands. And that thief that was nailed to the cross understood, I am justly where I am. I am receiving the due just reward for the deeds I've done in my life. And whether someone's willing to acknowledge it or not, the scripture is very clear in Romans 1:32. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows that they deserve the justice of Almighty God, which is eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. And not only do they know that, does that not deter them from pursuing their course of action? They not only continue to do everything that they know is going to land them there for eternity, but they approve of everyone else that does it too. Man is hopelessly lost. Apart from the sovereign regenerating work of God in Jesus Christ, man is hopelessly lost. He is self-destructive and foolish. He does what he knows is going to damn him, and he cheers on everyone else around him that does it too. That's why atheists not only have a problem with hell, they fear it. They fear it because it's real, and in their hearts they know it's coming. So my hope is that all atheists, everyone who says that they don't believe in God and everyone that is engaged in unrepentant sin, that they will come to know their sin and see the justice of God that's coming, but they'll also turn to see the love of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, I know that the life that I have lived makes me worthy of going to hell. The life I lived yesterday makes me worthy of going to hell. I committed a lot of sins yesterday. My motives are messed up. All kinds of things are wrong with me. I'm a messed up person. A work in progress that God is sanctifying and making better through the work of his word and spirit in my life. And I praise God for the things that he's done in my life. But I know that by my good works, I can never enter heaven. It's only because of the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. But God has shown me the depth of my sin and has granted me repentance from it and faith in Jesus. That's my hope, is that all who ever see this, and that all atheists, that everyone in the world that doesn't know the Lord will come to know him and understand the joy and the blessedness of fellowship with God through Christ. So that's my hope for everyone who watches. Thank you for watching.